Welcome to the Spoonie Podcast. I'm your host, Emily Fraser. This show is for anyone living with a chronic health condition. From personal experience, I know how difficult it is to navigate life with debilitating symptoms like pain and fatigue. I want you to know that you're not alone, and it is possible to build a life you love alongside your diagnosis. I can't wait to show you how. Hello, everyone. I am officially back from my 3-week vacation, which is just wild to say. There were many years that I thought I wouldn't ever be able to enjoy a vacation again, let alone a 3-week trip with 3 different destinations, multiple plane rides, shuttles, road trips. It was just what a whirlwind of an adventure. And I'm going to break it down today and give you some tips about how I was able to navigate that trip and not experience any major flare-ups. So for context, when I first became a Spoonie and my symptoms were so debilitating and I didn't know anything about pacing, I remember attempting to go somewhere just an hour away. My husband and I booked a hotel at this Nordic spa in the mountains. And so I remember that even that hour car ride being a passenger, I could not tolerate. We had to pull over at least 3 times for me to catch my breath. Anytime a car drove past us too quickly or there was a loud truck, my husband had to like put his hand on my thigh and just say, "You're safe." And I was having to repeat affirmations. I had to bring a weighted blanket. I had ginger chews for nausea. I had essential oils inside of my, on a Kleenex inside of my shirt to help me stay calm. I had meditation music pumping through noise-canceling headphones, my sunglasses, a neck pillow. I had taken a bunch of medication for pain, and I had my peppermint oil for my headaches. So I used a lot of supports to even make it possible for the trip. And even then, it was ridiculously overstimulating. And the only reason I was even able to do it was because once we finally arrived at the destination, it was a Nordic spa, so a bunch of hydrotherapy. All I had to do was sit there and float and relax. And even then, though, the car ride, even when it was just an hour, was so much for my symptoms that I remember being really dysregulated and even like fighting with my husband. And it wasn't fun. But I was proud of myself for at least attempting some type of a vacation. And then several months later into my journey, and I was on disability leave, and I remember feeling so much guilt. I was like, there's no way I can go on a vacation. Like, I don't deserve it. What will people think at work? Like, I'm too sick to work, but I can go on a trip. So I had a lot of shame about that. And I remember my doctor very clearly being like, you need to go on a trip. You need to get away. This is for your mental health. And I went, but again, I was in a lawsuit, so I didn't post any pictures about it. I didn't talk about it. The whole time I was there, even I couldn't fully relax because I was like afraid of like, A, my symptoms getting even worse. I had never been on an airplane since my brain injury and just all sorts of things. And then you're paranoid about what's going to happen from the other side if they're investigating you and all these things. So I remember I spent most of the time, I remember lying down in the hotel room. We went to a resort in Mexico and like my husband was Googling reflexology and just trying to push anywhere on my foot to help find some sense of relief. I remember my headaches were so bad after the plane ride. And even just like the 3-minute walk from our hotel room to the pool to sit at like a cabana was so draining to me, let alone trying to go eat at the restaurants. It was an all-inclusive, but it was low season. But even then, I remember just needing to ask them to turn off the music and going in with sunglasses. And it honestly wasn't that fun. It felt more like work than a trip. So I remember feeling pretty devastated. Like, is this my future? When am I ever going to feel better? And then I started to learn about pacing. I was able to start returning to work gradually. And I had lots of ups and downs. A lot of periods of improvement and then suddenly crashing. And it's now what I call the boom-bust cycle where, you know, you're feeling good, you do a lot, and then all of a sudden you push yourself too hard and you crash and you're stuck in a flare-up for days or weeks or months. So then early 2022, we went back to Mexico. And at that point, I'd really come to terms with being disabled. I was proud of my disabilities. I didn't feel any shame. So at that point, I booked a wheelchair at the airport. Not that I couldn't manage the walk. My energy had improved enough by then, but I wanted to save my spoons to enjoy the vacation. So that's when I used the wheelchair. But even then, that trip went a lot better. I managed. I went to the spa, was able to walk along the beach, had a lot more fun. But I remember coming back, we missed our connection flight, and I just broke down. Like, I remember screaming at the customer service rep who wasn't helping us, and I just collapsed, like literally fully collapsed on the ground, and they needed to send like an emergency like golf cart to come pick us up and take us through customs. It was just a nightmare. And now I can look back at those moments and realize, oh my gosh, my nervous system was so dysregulated, and that affected my ability to regulate my emotions. So I was just living in fight or flight for most of my life. And then when I would push past the peak, I would just fully collapse and I would be in shutdown mode or freeze mode. So it wasn't fun. Honestly, it wasn't fun. So the fact that I went on this trip, and honestly, I didn't even realize how ambitious it was. I've been feeling so good that I didn't even hesitate to book the trip because I knew I could manage it. And I'm so confident in my ability to plan and pace now that I never had a moment of doubt. In fact, I remember recording the podcast episode, be like, I can't wait to come back and tell you all about how great it went, because that's the level of belief I have in myself. And I think that's a really important message to take away, because a lot of times when I talk with my clients and they have a trip coming up, they're feeling like doubt and they're like, I don't know how it's going to go. And there's a lot of hesitation and fear, which is warranted. But the first thing I tell them is visualize success. Like, visualize this going well. Imagine how good it's going to feel in your body to be able to relax wherever you're going, spend time with loved ones or your travel partner or whoever you're going with, and just enjoy the trip. And that's the first step, because if we're constantly thinking of an upcoming trip, and we're panicked and we're worried about it, and we're running through worst case scenarios in our mind, we're basically priming our nervous system to freak out once we arrive. So we want to start ahead of time mentally and physically rehearsing how we want to feel when we're on the trip. So that's the first tip I'll share. And I mean, yeah, also, if you're at a point where using a wheelchair at the airport would help you, then do it. Doesn't matter if people judge you or if they're confused because you can actually walk. Invisible disabilities are tricky to navigate, and you can just tell them that I have an invisible disability. Like, you don't even have to justify anything to anyone, truly. So let's get into the trip. So the first place we went to was Quebec in Eastern Canada. And we spent a few days in what's called the Eastern Township. So we were driving around and exploring these little towns, and it was really quiet and so quaint and cute. And what I noticed is that, I mean, I did French immersion my whole life and I minored in French in university and even taught beginner French for a little bit in my career. But I always had low self-confidence and doubt when I was speaking French. Like, in my mind, I'd be like second guessing myself and be like, oh, I'm making so many grammatical errors. So even though I had done an exchange in university in Quebec City, I barely practiced my French because I was just so worried about what people would think of me if I made a mistake. But what I really took away from this trip is, like, I was practicing French a bunch. Like, everywhere I went, I was speaking French. And all of a sudden, I had more confidence and was just at ease. And I really credit that to my spoonie journey, because becoming a spoonie made me not care what people think of me. Like, I will now go out in public without makeup on, without a bra, like, my hair looking a mess, sometimes wearing pajamas, and I genuinely do not care, because I know that I need to put myself first and that how I think of myself matters the most. So it was really great to be able to speak with all the locals and not have any hesitation. It's a weird thing to say that my brain injury helped boost my self-esteem, but it absolutely has. I'm able to be more confident and just true to myself and be authentic to myself. And as a result, like, my French was better than it ever has been, even though I hadn't spoken in years. So after we explored the Eastern Townships and before we were getting ready to drive to Quebec City, where the first wedding was going to be for our friends, we found a Nordic spa, which was amazing. Originally, the reason we had extended our trip was because my husband's contract ended at work, so we had more time, and we decided to go early to visit this spa called Balnea Spa, which I was so pumped to go visit. Like, you all know how much I love a hydrotherapy spa. But then it was unfortunately closed for renovations the exact weekdays that we were there. But we were able to find another Nordic spa nearby, and we spent an afternoon there, and it was lovely. It had cold plunges. It had a bunch of jacuzzi, sauna, steam rooms. There was even a fresh river you could like jump in for your cold plunge. And then there was like a Finnish sauna right next to it. And it was just delightful. So we spent a lot of time there. And I've spoken about stimulating the vagus nerve and how important that is. But I'm a huge fan of hydrotherapy. Truly, like even when I'm just at home and when I used to get panic attacks, I would just visualize a happy place. And it was always me floating somewhere in a natural pond or river, somewhere that brought me a lot of calm. I don't know if that's because I'm like a double Cancer in astrology, so I'm a water sign. But for me, even to this day, I will take an Epsom salt bath every day just to help clear out my energy and just really stay grounded and energetically have my boundaries up. So that's a great way for me to unwind every day. And I also plan spa trips because when I'm traveling or even just in regular life, I like to alternate when I have a day full of activities with a day to unwind. And I knew that I needed to, on that weekday, go to the spa because coming up was the wedding and I wanted to store up my spoons. So just another trip that when you're traveling, don't go like 100% every single day. Figure out what are the things you really want to do and figure out how can I do less leading up to the big events so that I have enough spoons to use and spend. And that's really the truth for all of my trips. I'll have an idea of what I want to do, but I will always remain flexible with my itinerary because it depends on how I feel the day I wake up, right? We can never guarantee how we're going to feel. Although truly when you pace effectively, things become way more predictable, but you never know. So when we were in Quebec City is like full of stairs and hills. And I remember remarking to my husband, like, thank goodness I'm at a better place with my health because there's no way I would be able to be here without like all the tools that I have. Or even in previous years, I wouldn't have been able to manage, which is really interesting because I've been to Quebec City many times, but as a chaperone, a teacher chaperone for the grade 8 French language trip. So when you're there with like 30, 12-year-olds, it's a bit of a different scenario. But I kept thinking like, holy crap, my life used to be so different. I used to be able to manage all these long trips as a teacher and just being up all the time and in charge of all these students and all this walking. I was just, wow, it's such a different journey. And so people ask me like, oh, Emily, you're fully recovered. And it's like, well, I figured out a lifestyle where I can manage things. And I'm definitely doing way more than I ever have in my spooniehood. But it's not like I'm anywhere near where I used to be before. And that's just something to remember. Like when I'm sharing all these great things and photos on social media, like it's because behind the scenes, I am 1,000% practicing the strategies I teach my clients. I'm pacing all the time. I'm practicing my mindset strategies. I'm setting boundaries and I'm doing what I need to do in order to maintain my health. So if you follow me on Instagram, you would have seen like I was constantly posting photos of me taking a break on a bench, like literally lying flat because I find that's one of the quickest ways I can restore spoons because of neck stability. I just find if I lie flat and rest my head, it boosts my spoon levels quicker than if I'm just sitting down. And that's another thing about not having any shame about what people think of me because I was just lying down on random benches everywhere and I didn't care if people judged me because I was doing what I needed to do. So much so that even for the day of the wedding, I was able to babysit my friend's child that day and like hold him during their ceremony because I knew that I had the tools to take breaks and manage my spoon levels and still have fun at the party. So that was a great party. I was able to stay up late and dance. I did use my Loop earbuds. And I also did take one Tylenol on when the dancing started. And I'm actually like, if you know my philosophy, I'm actually very anti pain meds. I think there's a time and place to use them. But at a certain point of recovery, I don't think they're helpful because what they do is they mask your symptoms so that you push yourself past your limit. And that just keeps you stuck in the boom bust cycle. So I actually only started to recover when I stopped all of my medication gradually and with a doctor's guidance, because it helped me tune into my body and recognize the warning signs that I was going outside of my window of tolerance and therefore getting symptomatic. So I purposely chose to take a Tylenol, which some people are like, a Tylenol takes care of your pain. It's like, well, yeah, all I need is one Tylenol now to help me because of how well my pacing strategies work. And it was, I was able to enjoy the dancing and then lie down. And I only did that. I consciously pushed past my spoon levels because I knew the next day I didn't have any plans, right? The next day, all I had to do was go to like the pool at the Chateau Fairmont. So that's what's great. And what actually I ended up doing the next day, which surprised me, was we ended up walking around town a lot too. Was I slower because of the tequila? Yes. But I was still even able to go out and enjoy and do touristy things the day after the wedding, which is unheard of. Like in the past, when I attended weddings, which I've done throughout my spoonie journey, but I remember them knocking me out for 2 weeks sometimes, me having to take time off work. Actually, one of my best friend's wedding led to me going on disability leave from my most recent job before I started my business. So it's possible to attend weddings at every stage, but that's why I'm so confident in my pacing strategies, because oh my gosh, do they work. So that was great. Quebec City was awesome. And then we went to Toronto, Ontario, where I did my undergrad there to visit my sister and my 2-year-old nephew and my brother-in-law. But unfortunately, probably because I did push it a little too much in Quebec, I was like getting cocky. I was like, look, I'm doing all this stuff. I ended up doing like what for each of the 2 days after the wedding, my husband said I walked like 13,000 steps and 15,000 steps the next day, which is just wild to me because I used to not even be able to make it down my flight of stairs or even a 5-minute walk to the river near my house. So how much things have changed when I started implementing all these strategies. But I do think I pushed it a little too hard, got cocky because I got strep throat once we were in Toronto and I was stuck in bed for a few days. And even then, I realized that my spoonie journey really helped me because, you know, when you have strep throat or any type of like flu or something like that, it's like, well, you clearly have to stay in bed to recover. Whereas when we're spoonies and it's a chronic condition, a lot of times we feel guilt about resting. But I found with strep, I was just like, okay, yes, I wish I could spend more time with family and I wish I had a voice and I wish that I wasn't in bed, but I at least had the mindset strategies to practice self-compassion and to rest without guilt. And even like normally I would feel a lot of guilt that my husband wanted to go explore and do things, but I was just like, yeah, go on your own. Like just do it without me. I'm okay here. So that was really great. And then by the end of it, once I improved, I was able to on one day take my nephew to the park, and then we went to the art gallery, and then we went to go watch my sister perform in her orchestra, and then we went to a pub and everything. And honestly, I did use too many spoons that day, but it was like the last day and I wanted to spend time with my nephew. So that's another thing, like at a certain point, it's not just physical spoons, there's also emotional spoons. And while I knew I didn't necessarily have as many emotional physical spoons to spend that day, I was like, the emotional spoons I'm going to gain from spending time with family on the last day is going to be worth it. And it was. So I was really grateful that I got to spend that day, at least the last day of the trip, to really visit with everyone. And it was the first orchestra concert I've been to since my brain injury. So I had to take breaks and I had to leave early because, you know, I used to be a music teacher and my brain just processes music in a different way. I start to analyze everything and I did find it quite loud. So I did have to step outside and lie down afterwards. But the fact that I attended it and watched a solid hour before taking a break was like, I was really proud of myself for doing that because that's something that I would have had a lot of fear and avoided up until that moment. And then finally, we ended up in Lake Tahoe, California, and that was for Julia's wedding. If any of you have attended a workshop, you've probably had a chance to meet Julia, who is one of my team members. She does energy clearings at the end of every TSP call, and she's just amazing. She was in the very first cohort of the Thriving Spoonie Pathway, and then she ended up joining my team. And so what's so cool is that I was able to go to Lake Tahoe for her wedding, and that she also, because of TSP strategies, was able to manage a wedding week and everything that's been going on because of what she's learned through the program. So it was really great to be able to go there, meet her family and friends. one of the trickiest parts was that it was like a 15-hour travel day because we had to take two flights and then take two shuttles to get to the location, which was Stanford Sierra Camp. And it was a really beautiful camp. The whole place was booked out for the wedding group and the food was amazing. Everything was taken care of. And there was, you could go kayaking or go on boats or pedal boats. And there were hikes and just, I loved cozying up. There were so many cute corners to just sit and read. And I loved doing that. I noticed on the trip, I mean, I was still at that point not 100% because of the strep throat, but also the altitude change between Toronto and Lake Tahoe was extreme. So I was surprised how much the altitude was affecting me and my husband. My husband got sick. And then also when you're around a bunch of new people, that costs a lot of spoons too. So it was a lot of great data collection for me to realize, like, when you're traveling, it'll cost more spoons if you're going someplace new and if you're having to socialize with new people versus if you go somewhere you're used to and it's a shorter travel time to get there and there's not an altitude change. Like, these are all factors to consider if you're considering going on a vacation. Like, where are you going to go? Is it somewhere you're comfortable and that you're familiar with? Who are you going with and how does that affect your spoon levels? And what are you doing during the trip? Luckily for me, Lake Tahoe was just a really chill week leading up to the wedding. It was like, do what you want. There's planned activities. If you want to go on a boat cruise or if you want to do these things, this guided hike, otherwise just chill and be on your own. So I was able to do a lot of resting there and reading, which was really restorative. And then was able to save up my spoons for the wedding day, which was so much fun. And yeah, I actually like was one of the last people awake, which surprised me, but because I was going and taking breaks, there were really comfy leather couches everywhere. So I would go and chill, even though people thought probably I was wasted and just like passed out. Again, I didn't care what people thought of me. I was just going to take breaks when I needed them. And as a result, I made it to the end of the night. And so did Julia. There was an after party and she came in her white pajamas, which just made me so happy. I was like, that's the ultimate spoony experience, is just showing up in your PJs at the end of the night. So it was a great time. And I remember talking to everyone, like when we were on the last shuttle to get there, and it's like a very bumpy road and it was like just beautiful, absolutely breathtaking scenery. My husband was like, wow, look how things work out. Like, so much had to align for us to be here in this moment, he told me. And it's true. Like, had I not had my brain injury, I would have never ultimately started my business and I would have never created my Instagram, which allowed Julia to connect with me and join my program. And had she not had her brain injury, she would have never left her job as a lawyer and started doing energy clearings and then joined my team. Like, just so much had to work out for us to be in that moment. And I remember telling people throughout the week, like, I'm actually really grateful for my spoony journey, or I said my brain injury, because like I wouldn't be here otherwise. And everyone was like, wow, you're grateful for that? And truly, I am. I'm so grateful, because even though there were so many hardships along the way, I have to pause and recognize that there's no way I would be where I am today without that experience. As hard as it was in the moment and the adversity I experienced, without going through all that, I wouldn't have developed the resilience and I wouldn't have developed the skill set to now be able to help other spoonies navigate their journeys. So it's just something to remember that when you're like, why the hell is this happening to me? There is a silver lining. And you might not know what it is yet, but I promise there is a lesson to be learned from the journey and the experience. So I think that's a lovely way to wrap up. I will say that now that like my family and friends know so much more about spoon theory because I've branded myself as the spoony mentor, it was really lovely to have a bunch of people come up to me and check in, like, how are your spoons throughout the trip? Whether we had friends in Quebec or it was my husband, or, you know, I didn't have to explain anything when I was in Toronto resting. My family, my sister, like, she knew. I didn't have to explain myself or apologize. And same thing, like the brides coming up and us checking on each other, how are your spoons? So it was just really nice. And that's what I'll end with, is to say, like, share about spoon theory with your family. Like, it's a really great approach. There's a great article by Christine Miserandino to share. It'll help people understand what you're going through and be your ally in your journey. Like at this point, I've gone on many trips with my husband and he knows what my triggers are. He knows not to make me feel guilty. He knows to offer help and make sure I'm drinking a lot of water. And like, it makes a difference when you are with people who understand pacing and who want the best for you. So also remember that it's possible for you too, right? I didn't ever think I would be going on a 3-week trip, but I just did it and it was amazing. And it involved multiple flights and locations and 2 weddings. Like, what? So if you're like, that could never be me, I just want you to think about that and what kind of mindset you have and what kind of limiting beliefs you're reinforcing every day, because it wasn't until I decided that things were going to change that my healing journey really did transform. So if you're interested in joining us inside of the Thriving Spoonie pathway, the next cohort is now open for pre-sale where you'll save 25%. I'm also kicking off my business coaching program for aspiring or early stage online entrepreneurs or spooniepreneurs, you could say. I'm going to be teaching all the strategies that I've learned about how do you manage a business that's profitable, where you also prioritize your health and your health needs, right? Like I just took a 3-week trip and because of the planning I've done and the batching beforehand and understanding my energetic capacity, I only had to work 2 hours a week in order to sustain everything and in order to still earn consistently. So if you're interested in that, let me know, send me a DM on Instagram. Earn With Ease is the name of the program. We start on Thursday. But whenever you happen to be listening to this podcast, I promise I'm sure there's another cohort coming up, or you can DM me to learn more. So very excited about all of that. If you've enjoyed this, please leave a review. If you'd like more tips about how to navigate a vacation as a spoonie, including like how to plan ahead and how to delegate planning, you can send me a DM as well. I, in the most recent newsletter, sent out a huge document, a handout that I put together with a bunch of tips, so you can get access to that. I'm pretty sure if you click on the link in my bio at the Spoonie Mentor on Instagram, there's a spot to sign up for my newsletter, so you'll get instant access to that handout. So thinking of all of you, and as always, don't hesitate to reach out if you want to learn more about anything I've talked about today, and I will catch you next week. Thanks again for tuning in. I hope that this episode helped you restore some of your spoons. If we're not already connected on Instagram, make sure to go follow me at The Spoonie Mentor and send me a DM to introduce yourself and share some of your takeaways from the episode. You can also visit emilyfraser.ca to join one of my programs or courses and learn different ways we can work together. Sending so many spoons, and I'll see you next Wednesday.